SD Motorsports on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
This is the San Diego Motorsports Show on AM 1170, The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on the San Diego Motorsports Show. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, hey, welcome to SD Motorsports right here in KCBQ AM 1170. This segment brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. In fact, they're out at Las Coches and I-8 right now doing a tent sale, and I guarantee you they do not want to drive any of those cars back to the store. So if you're looking for a quality used car, because over 85% of their used cars are trade-ins. It's not, they don't go to the auction. These are trade-ins by consumers that have bought cars in the past. That's what El Cajon Ford does when it comes to East County. They have got that place totally dialed in. So if you're looking for a quality used car, or maybe you want to unload the one you've got, either it's not paid for or the check engine light's on, then you need to take a run over to El Cajon Ford today until tonight. It'll be running, I don't know, probably till closing.
Till the last car is gone.
That's right. Well, Le Mans is hot and heavy as we speak. In fact, it's over. And if you're not familiar with it.
Everybody who listens to the show knows Le Mans, okay?
It's the 24 hours of.
Circuit de la Sartre.
And let me see what some of the information. Today is, what is today, 17th?
Ford GT was racing, Chevrolet, General Motors, Audi.
Yep.
Come on. How many different series are there? LMP1 and 2, right?
Yeah. There will be hosting a ton of that stuff. So, okay.
I want to go. I want to do Le Mans. It is not like. Le Mans is the Indy 500 sort of. But it's on the list, man. We need to
Ford didn't
that.
Take us.
Well, you talk to Hank
Henry.
Ford,
Henry.
Hank, to his friends, Hank, right. Hank Ford.
That's why I didn't get to go.
Hank Ford.
Because I'm Henry to him.
Mr. Ford to him.
Well, Ford claimed a decisive victory in the GTE class.
Oh, my God. GTE.
On its return.
And what is, okay, so what is the
Grand,
E?
Grand Touring.
Grand, okay.
And it returned Le Mans, 24 hours, 50 years to the day. Following the
well, that was they had to be all in for that, man, because they didn't.
Oh yeah, well you, I guarantee you. Well, even back in the day, Henry Ford and Edsel Ford. I mean, it was not uncommon for them to walk up to the guy in charge with a little piece of paper.
Say win, yeah.
That was back in '66, where they did a 1-2-3 with the GT40, and for all you trivia buffs. The 40 stands for 40 inches above.
40 ground. Inches to the rooftop.
The pole winner, winning number 68 Ford Chip Ganassi Racing GT, driven by Dick Mueller and Joey Hahn, who we interviewed, and Sebastian Bourdais, led the charge to a decisive victory. So not only do they go over.
Oh, who is that Ford PR writing decisive, or where'd that come from?
This is racer.com.
Oh, good.
No, I don't. Hans was quoted as saying, it's great. He said, this is crazy. Hashtag America. That's what I would say. He said, I don't know what to say. Just a great group of people. Just a lot of great people. But that's what it's all about. And, you know as well as I do. When you do stuff like this, it's all about teamwork and amount of money expended. And we talked. The GT40. You know, that car has been tested, and nobody even knew it was being tested.
That was total skunk works when they debuted that car at the Detroit a couple of years ago. Nobody knew it was happening.
Well, and not only did they not know, but what they really didn't know is that the engine that's in the GT.
That they were running that engine.
Been running for 2.5 years prior to that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and.
So what you're telling me is this brand new car has got an old engine technology in it. Jeez, come on.
No, I know. Yeah, I'm sure it was more of the base, than anything.
But I'll bet Ford comes out with pricing on the GT now because they have not, and that you can order your car, you can spec it out, you can order, you just don't know how much it is. They haven't announced pricing yet, I don't think. But after this win, oh yeah, line up, here it is. Come get it, $500,000. I'll bet it will start at, 450,000.
If they're already marking up, if They're already marking up the Mustang GT350. You don't think they're not going to mark up the Ford GT?
Yeah, but see, if you're ordering this online, how are you going to, you know, and you're creating a relationship with your dealer. If you are a dedicated Ford buyer, you're working with your dealership, to bring in a half a million sale, come on. They're going to say, Dave, you know me. I'm not going to turn around and sell this car. I'm not going to use this to make a profit. I want this car at MSRP. Will you do that for me?
You're not going to get it.
No. It's just business. I love you, Bob, but no, it's just business.
Price. The Ford GT will have a starting price of around
$400,000,
according to Ford Performance.
Well, right. Yeah, but they haven't announced official pricing. That's what's going to happen. I would expect now, after it's debuted at Le Mans and it's killed. Yeah.
Well, you know, like I said, you just don't know. I
mean, so what?
It doesn't even really make a difference, because you know as well as I do, whatever they say the price is going to be is not the price they're going to sell it for.
It's going to be how much do you want to pay?
Well, and that's good. I think there is no way anybody's going to pay less than $500,000.
Because it looks like it's a $500,000 car.
Until somebody says what's under the hood.
Well, so.
Well, there's some people that say.
But what makes the Acura NSX worth half the cost of that?
It's not what makes it worth it. How do they get away with it? I think there's more technology. Oh, I didn't even hear him. I did have my earplugs in. What was I not doing?
You're not talking to the mic, I guess. Nobody
oh, was
hear
I
you.
Drifting? Sorry. I'll keep that. Oh, moving around. Sorry about that. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, why is the Acura?
I mean, well, that's a realistic price. 206,000 with every factory option.
Yeah.
That car is.
How many are they going to build?
As many as people want.
Okay. So the GT is not going to be that way.
You know, the first year, they're saying. But, you know, they're not going to say, oh, we don't want to sell another $500,000 car. You know, okay, we'll make you one.
You think?
Yeah. I think, yes. You know, they want to create some urgency. Oh, this first round, you know, manufacturing, assembly, all of that, they got to get it dialed in just right. People are going to buy those first ones and then salt them away, keep them in a climate-controlled garage, just as they did the other four GTs that are now selling for $350,000 each.
Yeah, and then some. No,
But how cool to go to Le Mans. I mean, it is an experience.
I have read about Le Mans probably more than most.
I know.
Mean, I have, when I told you about the Gruden simulator up in Laguna Niguel, I went up there and drove a $250,000 F1 simulator. And the guy says, pick any track you want.
Le Mans.
And most amazing experience I ever had. I mean, I've never been to Le Mans, but it's got to be pretty close.
Well, I pulled this off with the press releases that came in. It was from the Benoit Trullier race team. He's Audi sport team. Mm-hmm. And it was his seven wonders of Le Mans. Now, Benoit, of course, French-born driver, yada, yada, yada. He's born on December 7th, which is pretty symbolic. But he says, at Le Mans, you step into another dimension. It's all about excessiveness, the length and the speeds you reach. Each corner is unique and has its own character, its own story. He goes on to say, the Dunlop Curve, Arnage, Indianapolis, the Ford Chicanes. These are not only turns, these are fragments of Le Mans legend. And of course, there is the world famous Mont-Saint-Sreet, the paddock. It's like no other, but perhaps we should talk about it as a village, he says. In the Le Mans paddock, you sleep, eat, work. You can even do some shopping. Once you cross the circuit's grounds, it feels like entering a parallel universe. This is a race car driver.
Yeah, I know.
A small town with its own streets, restaurants, hotels, and even a police force. Every year, I take up residence in my bungalow the weekend before the race and settle there with my wife, Melanie, and son, Jules, so we can share every night as a family. Le Mans is also a way of life. This is Benoit Trullier, races for the Audi sport team. the start of the race. You know, the Le Mans start. It's always a very special moment at Le Mans, he says. I've lived it from inside and outside the car, and I must admit, I am a big fan of experiencing it from the garage together with the team.
See, I'd rather do that.
You follow the formation lap, the famous music that goes crescendo once the cars are in the Ford chicanes. Each time it gives me goosebumps, he says.
Are you kidding?
I love living this moment as a spectator. He says the Porsche curves, the sort of curves you don't find anywhere else in the world. In terms of what you feel at the wheel, it is unrivaled. A good car at Le Mans is a fine balance between low downforce to go fast on the straights and high downforce to be quick through the corners.
And these are city streets.
That's a fine line to tread.
And these are city streets.
We're really on the knife edge in terms of speed, and the Porsche curves the ultimate test.
I'm telling you. Wouldn't it be so much? That would be so much fun. Hey, let's take a quick break. We come back. We got more about Le Mans right here on KCBQ AM 1170. Let's hear it for Ford winning in Le Mans. Yoo-haw. We'll be right back.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports with Dave Stahl, Mark Maynard. Mark Maynard, editor of the Union Tribune Wheels section. Catch him every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you can always check me out on KUSI Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday.
We have Facebook pages.
Yep. And Instagram and Twitter and Flicka and Tumblr. I don't know if I did. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Hey, we got Dirt Dude on the line. He had a last night, probably was wild. The weather was warm, and I got a sneaky feeling the racing was fast.
Now, where's Dirt Dude bud? Racing?
Barona.
Barona. Okay, good.
So, how you doing, bud?
Made it through the night, and actually, it was actually a really good night. I was expecting it to be like 102-ish in there. And it was 90, had that cloud cover.
Yeah.
That monsoon came in. I guess it rained in San Diego.
We had spritzels, yeah.
Did you?
Spritzes, yeah.
I didn't get anything in Alpine. Mm-hmm.
Big drops.
Chula Vista. Well, you guys, you're way too far in there. But Chula Vista had a weather alert.
Really?
Got a weather alert. Yeah, about 5:30 or 5 o'clock. In half an hour, expect rain in Chula Vista. and then I heard some other people saying that it rained, sprinkled in San Diego.
Yeah. So. But you didn't get affected.
You didn't see it. No, we didn't get any of it. It was humid, but there was a little bit of a breeze, which helped cool it down. And you know, just the weather actually was really comfortable. Like I said, I thought it was going to be 100, 102, just brutal, you know. But it turned out to be really nice. Kept up with the track conditions. During intermission, we actually had Ron Dunlap was out there for back in town. He wasn't traveling with the dwarf cars. So he cut the track. We watered it. Had just a phenomenal track starting to run in for the Pure Stocks. Was our first main event. Jason Aldridge just got his first main event win after, I think he's been racing our track 2.5 years and finally got a main event win. And that was really good. And then we moved on the rest of the night, which it just went downhill from there. And it was a crash, kind of a crash fest and tempers on the track. It was just a night of just... amazing stuff.
you do know it was a full moon last night.
Oh yeah,
must have been our second full moon. Every time we have a race, it's like there's a full moon in there because it's just crazy.
You almost want to cancel the race due to full moon. I mean, because
it makes it interesting for the spectators. I mean, but we had a lot of red flags. We had a couple few really not serious crashes, but we had a couple incidents, you know, we had to take care of some people. And then it was a lot of red flags. First time racing, we had cars stuck together last night like you wouldn't believe. So our fire and rescue guys are just get out the jaws of life. We're like, we're cutting cars apart. We're not going to try and salvage them and, you know, like get the tow truck there and pick up this car so you don't damage it. They're like, we're cutting them.
No.
Hopefully you guys just learned the more you got to fix on your car from being cut up that they might just use their head a little more.
Yeah. Wow. How'd Sandoval do? That's our...
Well, hang on. We got into our street stocks. It was our second event. Brian Fitzgibbons, dude, he had a rocket that night, and it was just great. That was a good one to watch. If you're going to watch a replay of it, couple cars got together. Greg Mann got together with a couple people, Jeremy Willie, and the 12 of Crisscross Fred. That was a little bit of a banging incident where they actually went to off the track. They drove into each other, like, I'll drive into you and you drive into me to retaliate. Oh, that was just crazy.
Hockey on dirt.
What's that?
Hockey on dirt.
Yeah, pretty much. It was turned into a demolition derby in turn two between those two guys. Just going to run into you because you ran into me, and then I'm going to run back into you because you ran into me, and then they got stuck together. That's one of those guys that, one of the cars that got stuck together, and the fire and rescue guys are just like, nah, we're going to cut the cars apart. We're not going to help you anymore.
Did they take it to the pits?
Not that one. Modifieds had one. We rolled security because it was... two guys got together and weren't happy who got together with who, retaliated, kicked both of them off the track, you're done. And then it was, both of you go to your own pit, we're going to come talk to you. No, they both decided we're going to meet in the middle, we're going to go to this guy's pit, and I'm going to go over to this guy's pit, and, you know, we're going to talk about it. So I think we're going to end up suspending a couple guys for a couple races for... Well, one guy got out on the track, and that is a definite no. He did not get out on the track. Got out of the car, was kind of like, I'm going to yell at this guy.
No. Yeah,
ever since the incident with, you know, Tony Stewart, every track was banned, you're getting out of a car.
Oh, yeah. Much. Yeah, no matter, unless it's on fire.
Yeah. Unless for your safety, you must exit the car. Most time you're like, even if there's an incident and the car is broken, the driver still stays in the car while they tow it off the track.
Yeah.
Doesn't even get out of the car.
Yeah, because you don't run an ambulance out to them like NASCAR does and all that.
We don't have to. I mean, we did last night for one person. I'll get into that. Dwarf cars were our next main event.
Okay.
Kevin Drake got a main event win, and dude, that car was strong. Fast, strong. You wanted to know about Brittany? I think Brittany finished. Where's she at here? Trying to find 37.
Okay, well, she didn't do that well.
Brittany Sandoval.
She told me she got 10th, and oh yeah, there she's at 10th. She got a 10th place finish.
Good deal.
Good job.
In top 10. And then my other friend, well, you know, we just had him in there last time we talked to Phil Comper.
Oh yeah.
In the 77, got into hot lap session, kicked a rod right outside the motor.
No.
Lost the motor. Not even gotten into the heat races. This is just like we're out warming up the track and everything. Lost the motor in the car, called up his buddy, or called up a friend of ours, Matthew Hicks, has a car for sale. And he's like, hey, Matthew, you know, you got your car for sale. Do you think I could borrow your car? And Matt's like, yeah, dude, come pick it up. It's in my garage. Come pick it up. You know, just work on it. And, you know, and tell me what I need to do to get it dialed in a little bit better. So he had his crew come pick it up. Phil's had his crew come pick it up. And then he made it. So he's in the heat race with that, was in the main event with that. And he told me, yeah, that car really needs a way to try and get it to turn better.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up for a lot different than he's used to. But then he ended up getting into an incident. Ron Dunlap rolled over. Dirt rolled down the back straightaway into turn three. And when that caution came out, everyone else brake checked each other. And then Phil got hit. And he ended up getting transported off the track with a shoulder pain. But he actually ended up staying for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And the car wasn't damaged too bad. And then that was dwarf car. So, I mean, we're not even to the end. Super stocks. We had three, so a little car count on that one. And Ed Buston got a main event win, and he was just happy his said car ran good. IMC Modifieds was another one that we had a lot of incident in. Billy Hackett got a main event win. Cole Dick finished third, and I'm trying to think of who else would be interesting that you might want to know about. Kelsey Shockey.
This is
her fifth race in the car, and she's running fourth in the points. And she finished 10th. She's been doing really, really good. She's been staying consistent. I was going to offer Eric Shockey to come in next weekend if you wanted. We'll have him come in. He has a couple things he wanted to cover.
Sure.
And our Pony Stocks, Kyle Bethel got a main event win, and Tommy Crow got his first main event win for the season. In the kids class, Allison Evans got a main event win in a mini dwarf, and she came in second in her junior sprint. And Dan Gilbert got the main event win and the junior sprints. Yeah, he's been doing pretty good. That's his fourth main event win. And what's 80? They didn't give me the one for the other class. So, yeah, that's pretty much the whole night.
Wow.
It was interesting. I am waiting to go watch everything on YouTube, watch the replays of it. I'm sure it'll be pretty interesting. I've been watching all the comments on Facebook. Yeah, I'm talking about their night. I mean, it was hotter in the cars, it seemed like, than it was on the outside ambient temperature. Just like,
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, that stuff will happen. And, you know, and like I said, you're in the middle of the season. You got how many more races before the end of the season? You know, points are important.
Yeah, we're pretty much almost halfway through now because this is our fifth race of the season. We got two rained out, and we're only doing, 15 for the season. So that's counted like we're at seven now. So, yeah, almost halfway through the season. Or could be like the halfway.
Well, it's going to get tighter. It's not going to get looser.
Well, I'm just hoping the weather will change. Our fan count was kind of low and maybe about 450. And I'm sure a lot of people were scared off because of the heat index forecasted.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be such a nice night just to come out and watch racing. And like I said, the track was really, really doing good. Just the people couldn't drive on it. So
right.
I'm sure our next driver's meeting at our next race is going to be interesting because we're all going to be telling drivers what they need to know a little bit more.
You got it. All right, bud. Well, hey, thanks a lot for calling in. We look forward to it. You might want to stay, listen on the radio. We have got a gentleman coming in. He wants to go racing. He's a Washington State Cougar basketball player by the name of Justin Garcia.
Interesting. Does he want to go asphalt or dirt?
He wants to go dirt right now. He's went up to Paris Auto Speedway for the dirt cart experience Saturday, and he is seven feet tall.
But Ed Buston, that one last night, he's got to be 6.5.
Well, there you go. All right, buddy. Hey, we got to take a break, so we'll be right back. We got more right here on KCBQ. Want to thank Dirt Dude for taking time out of his day to call us in, and happy Father's Day to you. And we'll come back and we'll talk to our man from Washington State right here on KCBQ.
AM 1170, theanswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Riding along in my automobile. All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports right here on KCBQ with Dave Stahl and Mark Maynard. This segment is brought to you by the good folks at Paris Auto Speedway. If you've never been to that track, you have missed out totally. 18700 Lake Paris Road right there in Paris, California at the fairgrounds. You can go to parisautospeedway.com to get all the latest race schedules and all of the 4th of July coming up and Turkey Night. And, oh, my gosh, if you're into dirt and racing, this place is epic. We have a very special guest on the line. We have Justin Garcia. Justin Garcia is a basketball player, played for Washington State, and has decided to get into motorsports. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
So you decided dirt carts out of all the different venues you could choose. What drew you to the dirt go-karts?
I've pretty much been driving go-karts for close to 10 years now, since I retired from playing due to injuries. Uh-huh. And drove on pavement for a good portion of that. And then when I took a small break, and when I came back, I wanted something to try something a little bit different. I've been watching races over there at Paris pretty much since they opened the track, and decided to try a crossover to a dirt car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure everybody and their mother talks about this, the fact that you're 7 feet tall. Now, I've been racing carts since back in the day when they used to use chainsaw motors, okay? So I go way, 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 way back. Now, how did you have to have a cart chassis specially built for you, or did you find one with enough adjustments on that you'd fit?
Mine's it's a standard chassis with a 6-inch extension. That's when I was driving on pavement, that's as much of an extension that it would allow me to have within the rules.
Oh. So
pretty much a stock chassis, just with a slight extension to the front.
Okay, well then, so how much do you weigh?
I'm about 295.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a... What class do you run in?
On dirt, I'm running the F200s.
Oh, okay. You know, I've never done dirt, and I've always done asphalt. I'm not a shift cart enthusiast. I'd rather have just centrifugal clutch or an oil clutch and so I can just drive and not worry about shifting. But I've always wanted to do the dirt, and I've never done it. Now, you did that experience Saturday up at Paris, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was. I brought my car down. I'm running with the SoCal Oval Carters. and we had our fifth race of the year at the pass. Coach cut us a great track on the infield. Big shape, remind me a lot of Darlington. And we went out there, finished third.
Excellent. Third. Wow. Interesting. Now, since we're talking about dirt cart, and this is, I'm sure your this whole experience is out of your own pocket, but is there room for advertisers? I mean, could somebody come up to you and say, hey, I'd like to help you with your race career and sponsor your go-kart? I mean, is that an opportunity?
Yeah, that is definitely an opportunity. Right now I have a couple, mostly out of pocket. I have a few sponsors, a lot of family chip in. My aunt and uncle back in Mississippi, they help out a lot. My whole family, they help with everything. My dad's been he's been tuning my car since I got into it. But yeah, when I was running on pavement, we had both a friends and family sponsorship program where for $20, they give me $20. I'd put their name on the car. Had a few local restaurants chip in. And yeah, so getting back into dirt after I took that break, definitely more than willing to take sponsorship.
Sure. What engine do you run in that class?
I'm running a Briggs & Stratton. It's pretty much stock. There's a few things we changed on it from a Briggs & Stratton World Formula. We changed the clutch and carburetor. Other than that, it's a pretty much stock Briggs & Stratton. A lot of the competitors run a Yamaha World Formula or an F200.
Okay, all right, yeah, because I started out when Yamaha brought out the KT100, so I think they moved that up to a 200 now.
Yeah, it's a four stroke. It's not a two stroke like the KT.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, and you know, as long as you don't touch the carburetor, you probably get a whole season out of that motor, can't you?
Yeah, my engine builder is really great. Terry Nash at Hyper Engines put together a great engine for me. I have him check it between races, just make sure that I'm not going to blow it up or anything.
Right.
But other than that, it's a solid engine. Definitely a full season out of it. I got all last year.
Wow.
Every race out last year out of it, and it was still running strong at the end of the year.
How'd you do last year?
Last year I ended up fourth overall.
Wow, and that's not bad at all. So this is your second season on the dirt?
Second season on dirt, correct.
You staying on the dirt? You got aspirations of doing something bigger, faster, more expensive?
I'd love to get into a stock car. Eventually up into a street stock, but realistically, and trying to be smart for a little bit, start into a factory.
Right. Well, you're going to find as you get older and look back on your career, you're going to find you had the most fun in a go-kart. I don't care what else you drive. You will still say you had the most fun in a kart for the least amount of money expended, really, when you come right down to it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. All the years I played, my fondest memories of playing were back when I was in high school playing with friends and family. and I can see that. I can see the correlation in driving.
Sure. Without a shadow of a doubt. So the interesting thing about that's what I wanted to ask. What year cart is it? Is it a new cart or were you able to buy a used cart and upgrade it?
It's a 2006. So it has some years on it.
Yeah.
A little bit old for pavement, but it runs great on dirt.
That's what they say. They say that the old asphalt carts, once they retire off asphalt, because they really take a serious beating on asphalt, you know, they make it phenomenal. Well, I don't know how long you've been karting, but have you ever heard of a Tony cart?
Yeah, I definitely familiar with Tony cart.
Well, Mark Maynard and I, he's sitting here. We went to Vegas with a Volvo experience we were on, and we went and stopped.
We wanted to see Pawn Stars.
Yeah, we wanted to go see the Pawn Stars. And he had a full, complete Tony cart with the cart, the stand, the starter, and I don't know how many boxes of parts for $2,500.
That is,
dude.
Depending on the motor, that is a steal.
Dave was frantic. We were going to strap it on the top of the Volvo.
Brand new Volvo. I don't care. Strap it on a roof. $2,500. And I was trying not to let him know that they had no idea what they had. because it ran. Yeah. Oh, my God. It still gives me cold chills every time I think about it. But that's beside the point. So how old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
34.
Okay, so you're still young. Yeah, you're still doing good. So you're not playing basketball. What are you doing? What are you doing otherwise?
I'm actually a musculoskeletal ultrasound tech.
Whoa! You got to come over here and see Mark Maynard. He needs all the help he can get.
I work on quite a few race car drivers come to my office and match them up. After I got injured playing basketball, it was a natural transition.
Sure.
Once I finally got smart enough to go back to school.
Yeah, where we heard that before. Hey, where are you based at? Where do you live?
I live in Mariloma, California.
How far away is that?
Outside of Riverside. Oh, okay. Outside of Riverside.
Well, because I always offer this to everybody that calls in on our show and it races at Parisado Speedway. You know, if there's ever a time where you would like to come to San Diego, say on a Saturday, spend the night, and then get up early and come on my local television station, it's the number one watch morning show in town, and the exposure is humongous. And then once you come on TV, then when you go to try to drum up advertising dollars, then you can legally say, hey, I can get you on KUSI TV if you sponsor me. Just like you can say that now because you've been on KCBQ radio, you can tell whoever, because you know as well as I do, you've been in basketball. I mean, nobody writes a check unless something's coming on the other side of it, you know. And
exactly.
And I can give you exposure on the number one watch TV station and the only motorsports show, the longest running one here in San Diego, and I'm happy to do it. Because it just helps you stay in your car, and who knows, you can even talk about your business.
I appreciate it. Definitely will take you up on that offer. My adopted brother lives down in San Diego.
Oh, perfect.
So that could work out perfect.
Yeah. Well, what we'll do is I'm booked out till about into July and August, but Scott will give you Delosio. He'll give you all my contact information. You send me an email, and I would love to. And like I said, you could bring your crew down, bring your family, because that's really what it's all about. Because even though it's only a 3 or 4 minute segment, you'll get a copy of it. You can put it in your portfolio. You can save it for when you get old. It doesn't cost a darn thing. And I just do it because, especially for local drivers, I love to help as many of these local racers as I can, because the hardest thing to do, you can be the greatest driver in the world, but if nobody knows you can drive, then, unless you have a very big checkbook, it's going to be tough.
You just said it. It's all about exposure.
Yep.
And getting your name out there, and the local race clubs are a great way to do it.
Yep.
People like you, people like Scott Delazio,
yep,
helped out a lot.
Yep.
And from a local driver, we appreciate it beyond words.
Yeah. Well, and that's what you go ahead, Mark.
Well, so Justin, is there any carryover? How did basketball help you be a better driver, or is it just athleticism that helps you be a better driver?
Well, after years of playing ball, that drilled in competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I will ever get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been said that you have to hate losing more than you do winning, than you love winning. And I definitely hate losing.
Mm-hmm.
So that competitiveness, yeah, is always there.
Yeah.
And as far as a physical crossover, just the hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, yeah.
Was a huge help from day one.
I'll bet. Mark calls it red mist, is what he calls it, because it comes upon me periodically. And it is. I if we're on a press event and we're on a racetrack, and I'm doing fine until somebody either comes up behind me or I come up behind them, and then everything goes black and God only knows what happens afterwards.
He's going to come in first.
Because I'm going to get you. I am seriously going to get you. You are not going to beat me, and I am not going to let you. Oh, it's terrible. I don't know what. But, hey, I call it the Dale Earnhardt syndrome. It's just – and I'm happy to say that. But, no, I I'm not a young chicken, but I swear, if I was going to go to that event Saturday, but I knew not to go because I would end up with a cart. I guarantee it. If I strap myself in there – so I'm probably
we had the arrive and drive.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Well,
yeah.
So
It would have been a perfect opportunity to jump, to strap in and catch the karting bug.
Yeah, I've already got the karting bug. In fact, if you came to my house right now from 1995, sitting on my top of my TV stand is three first place trophies from racing at Imago Racetrack up off of the 76. And those have been sitting there, and I look at them every single day. So you can't tell me I don't have the bug. And I would jump on that bug in a heartbeat if I could get away with it. Hey, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your Father's Day to, whether you're a father or not, doesn't really make any difference because I know you got a dad. So we want to thank you very much, Justin, and get my information from Scott Delosio, and let's get you on TV.
All right, I definitely will. Thank you for having me on, and thank you to all the fathers out there listening.
All right, and stay in touch with us. Let us know how you're doing throughout the season.
I will.
All right, buddy.
Right on, Justin.
All right, we're going to take a small break. That was Justin Garcia from the Washington State basketball team. 7 foot tall.
And racing dirt carts.
Half inch off the ground. Yeehaw! We'll be right back.
I'm in love. Look no further. We have the answer. AM 1170. The answer.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports right here on KCBQ AM 1170. Dave Stahl, Mark Maynard, editor of the Union Tribune Wheels section. He is in the house. We want to thank Certified Car Care for all their support. And we really enjoyed having Justin call in. Hopefully we'll get him back on again, too. Certified Car Care, CertifiedCarCare.net, CertifiedCarCare.net. Make sure you check these guys out. Well, Le Mans, like we said, has been running, but there's a lot of other news that's been going on around the motorsport community, and one of them is, looks like our boy Brad Keselowski will be jumping out of his Miller Lite NASCAR and jumping into a Roger Penske Indy car, and he's going to do a test at Road America. So do we think that Keselowski might be dribbling over to open wheel? As history has proven, those transitions usually don't work. Because if you come from Indy to the NASCAR, as Juan Montoya did and failed miserably.
From Indy to NASCAR didn't work.
And Danica Patrick did not work. Sam Hornish did not work. Helio Castroneves Helio didn't do a NASCAR, did he? There's only a few that can make that transition, and it's like one's driving a go-kart and the other one's driving a bus. And, you know, driving that bus is tough. Hey, you know, we were talking the other day about the Can-Am Spyder. You know, they've come out and redid it and cut the seat out so you're down in it instead of on top of it.
Yeah.
Well, Escondido Cycle Center, July 8th and the 10th, through the 10th, they're going to have a ride and drive. So demo ride. So anybody wants to go up and...
You should do that.
I will not do that. And the reason I will not do that is because people that have ridden motorcycles are not fans of the Spyder. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it's not my cup of tea. It could be your cup of tea, but it's not my cup of tea.
You know, in the walk up to the week of Le Mans, I get press releases, and I get press releases for all the races from Pirelli and Brembo. And, you know, you realize when you see what Pirelli does in the formulas, you know, for the racing, and they talk about the cars, the compounding that they're going to run on this track and this day and the heat and this and that. Brembo is the same way. I mean, out of what, 30-something cars in Le Mans this year, 24 of them were running Brembo brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a team win if, I don't know, the Ford GT is running Brembo brakes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when the Ford GT wins, Brembo celebrates.
Who else, what else would you run and besides Brembo?
I don't know. It'd
be interesting to see who the other guys are.
Well, you know, if you're...
Like Girling? Remember Girling?
Well, that's British, but if you're... Depends. You know, it depends if you're Audi... And you've already got a good brake engineer division.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which is Brembo. By the way, Angel Sempe, I don't know if you know her.
On him?
Angel Sempe is back on motorcycles again. And
Where was she?
She retired and came back. and she's been struggling.
How old is she?
But she finally took a win in Englishtown. Or no, she hasn't won since 07 at Englishtown.
So what, Jersey?
Pardon?
Englishtown, New Jersey?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this time she was, it's called, I should have highlighted that one in yellow. It keeps popping up where she won it. But it was just last weekend. I think it was in Topeka, because right now they're in Bristol. But yeah, she's such a deserving girl. And man, I mean, she's only like 100 pounds and 5 foot if she's that. But that girl can drive a motorcycle like nobody's business. And when she takes, and these guys, you know, when she takes a loss, it's just ugly. Ron Capps had a little bit of a scare. For some reason, the whole front of the car just kept coming up.
Yeah,
didn't get very high. Top fuel. Mm-hmm. Or funny car, I'm sorry.
Funny car.
Yeah. 318 miles an hour, 394.
When the front of your car lifts at 300 miles an hour?
1,000 feet.
Oh, yeah.
That's all they're running, 1,000 feet. Another little bit of news. The World Rally Challenge are having a little bit of a situation. There was a fire accident in Portugal. The FIA has launched an investigation into the Rally of Portugal. The organizers' handling of the Hayden Padden fiery crash last month. The Ponte de Lima stage was allowed to continue while Padden's Hyundai burned at the side of the road. It was only stopped when Oat Tanka crashed his Ford Fiesta RS at the same place and landed in the middle of the blaze. Well, the Estonian was understandably furious at both the absence of any warning of the crash and the decision to let the stage run. Well, the FIA director, JMO.
FIA or World Rally?
FIA, which is the
They
the
govern
same,
World
same
Rally.
As, yeah,
mm-hmm.
same.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They govern that whole, all the European jazz. Well, JMO says the governing body has requested a full explanation of what unfolded. And we want to know what was happening.
Of course.
And what the organizer thought are on this, he said. And that's why we have started the investigation. The organizer will make the report and we will, you know, consider what they say. It's too early right now. So the Portugal clerk of the course, Pedro Alameda, defended his actions in the wake of the incident. My position is this. You stop the stage under one of two conditions. The road is blocked, or you need to send urgent medical assistance to anybody.
Both of those were required.
Almandini told Autosport recently, if the road is clear and no assistance is necessary, from my point of view, there's no reason to stop the stage. What I'm going to say is not politically correct, but this is a rally. This is not a circuit. You must be prepared as a driver for unexpected things. Kind of reminds you of Disneyland and having a sign next to the pond that says no swimming. Mm-hmm. And there's an alligator living in there.
Mm-hmm.
The crash was less than 100 meters before a radio point. Immediately, we knew about the accident and we knew the drivers were safe. The car was in flames and around there was a lot of fire. He said the rally route was already clear.
You got it.
And all the drivers went through without any major incidents. My intention was to send to the World Rally car through the stage. End discussion. I don't agree. At least you got to put caution flags up. I mean, you got to do something.
You got a car on fire in the middle of the
and you're coming around the turn. I mean, what are you doing when you're driving a race car? You're concentrating so hard. And then all of a sudden you come around a corner and there's a barbecue and you weren't aware of it. I like that. Car-B-Q. All right. So what are you driving next week?
I don't know.
I've got the Hellcat 707.
You know, I wanted to bring this up about Le Mans. 1991 Mazda. They won.
Yeah.
Running that four rotor.
Yeah.
You know, that was rotary engine technology.
Uh-huh.
At its finest. That was that orange, green, and blue car, 787B.
Yep, I remember it well.
Just the sound of a four-rotor rotary engine wailing. And, you know, I don't know. You know, that was Mazda persevered. That was when it took them 17 tries to win Le Mans. Mm-hmm. And they did. And that's when they came up with their motto, never give up.
Right.
So we need to tell them never give up on the rotary engine.
You know, I don't know why. I honestly really don't know why they didn't. Why they dropped the ball on that.
I mean, they had emissions issues. And fuel economy and oil consumption.
Yeah. Picky.
Well, as soon as you, but I mean.
The concept was there. I think they could, you know.
There's been talk about applying that rotary to hybrid technology. And that segment of Mazda owners, customers, fans.
Those people are fanatics.
Loyal. You know, and they carry that flag for a rotary engine, whether it's a Mazda pickup.
I know. My buddy Seth Scally, he lives and dies by those things. And he can squeeze horsepower out of a rotary like nobody I ever seen.
1.3 liter, yeah.
But he can make it sing, let me tell you.
They will 9,000 RPM. You know, that's what they're meant to do. They're meant to sing and hear that.
Yeah. And then they put that little tune pipe on that thing and yeehaw, it is hot to trot.
Yeah. You know, that's some of the, you know, when you look at manufacturers and their various technologies, you know, Mazda pursued that. And everyone has their segment of engineering technology that is proprietary to the company.
Yeah. Did you see on Facebook where Keith Martin bought a Lotus Elise? Uh-huh. 30 minutes later, it was stolen?
No. Keith Martin is a publisher of Sports Car Market.
Right.
American Car Collector.
You know. He was devastated.
That was the new one? He bought a new one? Or?
Bright orange. Kind of that orange.
In 30...
Within 30 minutes of ownership, it was stolen.
How did that? Don't post that Facebook. Don't post
pictures.
He did. Yeah, don't post pictures of your new car on Facebook.
Yeah, really. Somebody's going to see it and say, hey.
Come on. So what'd they do? Get it and drive it on a truck and now it's on its way?
Well, I'm sure he just, somebody must have delivered it, left the keys in it. I'm guessing. I didn't say it.
He's based in Portland, Oregon, I think.
You can tell. I can guarantee he wasn't a real happy Portland, Oregonian. I'd be livid. I just don't understand people stealing stuff like that. It just makes me crazy.
Yeah.
I know. All right. So you don't know what you're driving next week. You don't know what's going to be in the paper next week.
No, in the paper next week, I do know what's going to be in the paper next week. What's going to be in the paper next Saturday will be my review of the Ford Explorer Platinum.
Oh, yes. That was nice. And what's Friday?
Friday is my column. Friday is an RPM column. Oh, yeah, it's some more items. Let's see. The U.S. Postal Service is issuing the vintage pickup truck Forever Series stamp. Finally, I wrote about that. Seems like forever ago. But July 15, the new vintage pickup truck. There's four pickups.
Yeah.
Two Fords, a Chevy, and an International, which I said... Come on, two Fords. Why couldn't you throw in a mid-40s Studebaker pickup in there? And then also, lead item is the Kia Brakes program.
They're coming to KUSI.
Be responsible and keep everybody safe.
Oh, I'm glad you put that in there.
Yeah, well, July 30, 31 is that. It's a free program.
At the queue.
Staged at Qualcomm. You just must register.
Online.
And you must, and that costs $100, but you get that back.
Yeah, they only do that to get your butt down there.
Yeah, you know,
and it's a mom and dad,
they put that parents. It's a learning experience with the parents.
That's right. All right, Budsky. Hey, always a fun time.
Dave,
by all.
I look forward to next Sunday.
Yeah.
Another 3 hours of fun with you, man.
Woohoo! All right, folks, keep the rubber side down, the shiny side up. I'm out of here.
Be safe and be good to your father.
Yes, indeed. Smack him once for me.
SD Motorsports on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Love Radio Network.